President Truman's Whistle Stop Speech at Parkersburg, West Virginia, September 2, 1952.
And now, my friends, the President of the United States.
Afternoon traveling across your estate and talking to the people on the way. I ask you to vote for Adlai Stevenson for president. Re-elect Harley Kilgore to the Senate and send Congressman Burnside back to the House. Then you'll be in safe hands. I went out to Milwaukee last night. Gave the people there some hard facts about the Republican Party. I told them the truth, which is that the National Republican Party is a reactionary and irresponsible outfit and no friend of the American people. I proved that by citing the Republican record in Congress on domestic issues. Important as domestic issues are these days, foreign policy overshadows them. The great problem of our foreign policy is whether we are going to have peace or war. I've been working constantly to overcome a great menace to world peace, the terrible menace of an armed and ruthless communist imperialism. This is a long and difficult task. It is one that must be above party. Now, my friends, this statement of mine here today is a foreign policy statement of the government of the United States, and I'm talking officially to you as President of the United States, and I'm trying to bring home to the country and to the world exactly what the foreign policy of this country means to peace and quiet in the world. We've made progress in these last few years in dealing with the communist threat. Our country has put its strength into a great effort to defend and unite the free world. In this effort, Republicans and Democrats have joined together without reference to party. This is as it should be, because in this effort, in this task of working for peace, only a united nation can succeed. Partisan politics, my friends, ought to stop at the water's edge. The United States as a whole should face the world as a whole and face the world in the interest of peace. And that's what we're trying to do. And that's what we've been trying to do ever since I've been president. Now, in spite of this obvious fact, which I've just stated, there has been all along a group of Republican obstructionists, men of little minds and mean aspirations, who have put party above country and who have worked for votes instead of peace. They are the same kind of men who wrecked the security of the United States and the hope of the world back in 1920 after World War I. They were almost silenced by the great events of World War II, but today they have begun to crawl out of their hiding places to try to undermine the security of our country once again. As our country has had to make sacrifices in the cause of peace, they've become bolder. Not only have they voted in Congress against the measures needed for world peace, they have tried to stir up the people to believe that these measures are unnecessary. These men have tried to find votes for themselves in every difficulty we have encountered, every loss we have suffered, every restriction we have had to undergo, every appropriation we've had to make in the cause of peace. They've been reckless and unscrupulous. On a day, they have counseled us to cut off our allies. And on one day, they've counseled us to cut off our allies, and on the next, to plunge heedlessly toward a major war. They've been playing with fire at home and abroad. so long as these men represented only a small minority of the Republicans in Congress, I was not too much concerned. While Senator Vandenberg lived, they were not in great danger. But after he died, their ranks began to grow. In vote after vote on fundamental issues in Congress, it became clear that the Republicans were backsliding into their old habit of isolationism. And these men hoped and planned to take control of the Republican convention last July. In that, they were frustrated. And the Republican nomination fell to a man who had helped vigorously to execute the great foreign policy on which this country has embarked. But this was not the end of the effort of the Republican snollygosters. Better look that word up, it's a good one. You'll find that says just exactly what it means. The Republican candidate has been told that he can't have their support unless he adopts some of their ideas. He's been threatened with sabotage from within unless he will join in the wild and reckless ranting of men who don't care what happens to world peace if they can get elected. There have been some masterminds at hand in the Republican councils to show him how to be a hypocrite in 10 easy lessons. One of these Republican masterminds is a man who helped in the formulation of our own foreign policy. He knows what a precarious situation the world is in. He knows how easy it would be to start a war, but he's perfectly willing to have the Republican Party and the Republican candidate say things that increase the risk of war simply in order to get votes. Now there are people who like to pray in public and make the general run of the people believe that they are honorable men. My grandfather used to tell me that whenever you see a fellow go up to the mourner's bench in the Baptist church and begin to pray out loud, you better go home and lock your smokehouse. There's a passage in St. Matthew which covers that situation. I'm going to read it to you. I'll give you the chapter and verse. It's St. Matthew 6, 5 and 6. That, and when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. Some of those people are trying to give us a reward of all-out war. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray unto thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret will reward thee openly. I wish some of these snollygosters would read the New Testament and perform accordingly. Let me give you an example of what these Republican masterminds are doing and saying now. They've started to talk loosely about liberating the enslaved peoples of Eastern Europe. Now, the fate of the people in the Soviet borderlands is one of the greatest and most terrible tragedies of human time. Here are countries which suffered dreadfully from Nazi oppression and the ravages of war. These are peoples to whom the Kremlin promised freedom and independence in the last war, only to break that promise once the Red Army's moved in. And I want to say to you that that same Kremlin has broken from 30 to 40 promises that they made to this government of ours in the interest of peace. We shall never forget these people behind the Iron Curtain. We shall never cease working to help these people gain their rightful chance for freedom. We must never treat their plight or our endeavors to relieve it as matters of partisan debate. Millions upon millions of decent human beings are going through a dreadful agony, and it's not for us to play cheap politics with their needs and fears and hopes. Yet that is exactly what some of these Republicans have begun to do. They are praying in public, and they'll cause the throats of these agonized people to be cut in private.